This is Blue Ridge Public Radio. I'm Helen Chickering. Leonardo da Vinci may be best known for his artistic masterpieces, but he was also an accomplished engineer and scientist. And that mix of science and art has inspired a local group of artists, scientists, and citizens to launch the area's first Arts and Science Festival. I caught up with one of the organizers, biologist Jason York.
Well, I did think about science fairs initially, and then I said, you know, we need to reinvent this. So it's not just this sort of thing that nobody really thinks is fun, you know, and it's just kids with vinegar and baking soda volcanoes. And we go to all these festivals that have music and it's mostly vending and it's for a good time. But how cool would it be to go to one where you could actually learn and experience something new? And that was sort of the idea of it. So we talked about having a science fair with flair, and then people said, let's just call it a festival.
And at some point, you decided to integrate art into the mix. Tell me about that.
Yeah, they often complement each other. And there's a lot of things that I hadn't previously thought of going into this that suddenly I became aware of, like medical illustrators, insect illustrators, just to name two, which are, that's a fairly easy combination. You can see art and science in that. But I also think about people like, you know, Leonardo da Vinci, who designed a helicopter and then painted the Mona Lisa. So he's probably the embodiment of it if I had to think of someone, you know. And I kept thinking of the word Renaissance when I was doing this too, because that was a rebirth of knowledge, science and art, you know, and it's human expression. I feel like our society could use some of that.
And I'm thinking locally, we've got NOAA in our backyard, tons of art galleries, musicians, and you want to bring it all together in one place.
It's really in our community fairly prevalent. I mean, in Asheville particularly, arts and sciences are everywhere. And you could live right next to someone who's world renowned and maybe not know it until you get to talk to them. So that's sort of the purpose, is to just bring everyone out in the open that has something to share.
So before we talk about the event, let's backtrack a bit. You're a biologist. You had this idea. How did you make it happen?
I emailed about as many people as I could think of, and those people shared their ideas with people that they knew, and it really just kind of organically developed on its own. And the next thing you knew, I had, you know, 15, 20 people wanting to come to meetings, and now it's UNCA faculty members, a lot of just private citizens that are interested. The Asheville Astronomy Club has been great. Puppeteer, local musicians.
So now let's get to the event itself. It's at the end of the month here in Asheville. What can people expect?
So there'll be solar telescopes from the Asheville Astronomy Club where you can look at the sun. Hopefully it's not cloudy. We're most likely going to have a virtual reality setup, microscopes to look at insects, ice cream, a kid's tent, you know, face painting, things like that. We have a live jazz band called the UNCA Extet, and they do modern jazz. It's a combination of faculty and the students. Pierce Edens, who will be playing. They're a really great rock Americana duo from Asheville. We have Hobie Ford, who's a fairly well-known puppeteer, performing a show called Animalia. So that's going to be great for kids. And it's free. So what we want people to do is to come in, get food, and walk around, look at the exhibits as if you're at a museum, and just have fun. Stay for a while.
And who are you hoping will come? Tell me about your target audience.
Well, our target audience is really everyone. Definitely want to get the kids involved. You know, I would say 5 through 85, you know, can come and find something to enjoy. Part of the reason I think it speaks to everyone is because people use science as a way to understand the world, you know, and it doesn't have to be fancy and complicated. It could be something as simple as asking a question and then sitting there and watching. You know, that's the scientific method in a sense. And art kind of does the same thing, you know. It's a means of understanding our surroundings. And the combination of the two, I think, would lend itself to a more creative community that's better apt to deal with modern problems.
Will this be a one-time event? What are your thoughts going forward?
What I'd really like to do is make our little group its own nonprofit and then continue to host these kinds of events maybe once or twice a year, potentially in the Asheville area. But I'd love to bring it some of the rural communities and lower income areas that don't have access. And really, the idea behind this is to supplement our education in a fun way, you know, beyond school and science classes that everybody's scared of.
So you clearly have a passion for science. Tell me a bit about your background.
Well, I've always been interested in science since I was a kid, and the outdoors, animals, critters, like most kids, I think. And that drew me to college in New England, where I majored in conservation biology. And then when I moved down here, I studied beetles that were being released by the Forest Service to combat the hemlock woolly adelgid. That sort of led me into the world of forestry and invasive exotic plants. And then that, by some strange turn of events, landed me in the world of aquatic entomology, which in turn also got me into structural pest control. So I've had a lot of different jobs over the years, and many of which I'm still doing on a part-time basis, which is why I call myself a freelance biologist, because I'm doing a lot of science for a lot of different reasons. And sometimes people don't really understand what it is I actually do for a living, so it takes a bit of explanation.
You spend a lot of time outside, which is a pretty cool place to do science.
It generates a lot of interest. You know, people usually want to know what you're doing. And I think everyone kind of inherently likes playing in streams or walking through the woods for that matter. I'm always looking at plants and trying to learn more about them, where they're from, why they're here.
So tell me more about what inspired this whole festival idea.
It really started, I was in a very tight crawl space under a house, climbing through various animal droppings and broken glass and things like that, for a structural pest control job. And my colleague Pete Eden said, I don't know why more people don't study insects. You know, everyone wants to study bears and moose, but nobody's really into bugs. He said, if you do that, you're one out of about 100. That comment just got me thinking about what we were doing at the time had a lot of implications for science. Moisture in the wood, the biology required by the insects that need the moisture, building science, all that stuff. And I said, well, wouldn't it be cool if people in the community knew more about it in general, the day-to-day practice of science and what that really looks like, as opposed to a lab somewhere in a secure building in California where everyone's wearing a white coat and is a 45-year-old male.
That is biologist Jason York, the lead organizer behind the Asheville Arts and Science Festival. Full details are on our website, bpr.org.